Wisconsin winters are known for being cold and harsh. But John Gerda reminds us of the 19th century settlers who toughed it out on the edge of the world.
Wisconsin winters can seem endless, even if we were born here, even if the season is relatively mild. By January, we forget that the air was ever warm, that the world outside our windows was ever green. The fact is that we've got it easy. Imagine, if you can, what winter was like for Milwaukee's pioneers. Lake Michigan was their major lifeline to the outside world. When ice brought shipping to a halt every November, Milwaukee was beyond the reach of civilization until the following April. News was scarce, mail service was painfully slow, and the settlers had only each other to stare at for the next 4 or 5 months. The long freeze required as much preparation as a polar expedition. In 1836, Albert Fowler listed the provisions he had put aside before the last ship left in November. 4 barrels of flour, 100 pounds of butter, a barrel of crackers, a barrel of beef, and a large supply of potatoes, carrots, and other vegetables. A monotonous diet was not the only drawback of a frontier winter. Most of the early settlers were young men on the make, and months of enforced idleness must have been maddening. There were precious few distractions of any kind. No smartphones, no computers, not even a public library. It was probably a pioneer who coined the term cabin fever. There were compensations. Some settlers kept their hands in one of the euchre games always in progress at local hotels. Some used the time to dig into the latest James Fenimore Cooper novel. Despite the presence of a strong temperance faction, most drank. Pioneer historian James Buck counted more than 100 rum holes in frontier Milwaukee, each offering its own brand of warmth and dissipation. Hardier souls spent much of the season on the ice. Most of Milwaukee's present downtown was a marsh, and it provided excellent ice skating. Benjamin Miller, an 1839 arrival, recalled the central wetlands as a winter wonderland. "I had put on my skates at the corner of Wisconsin and Van Buren Streets," Miller recalled in 1898, "and skated from there south to the old harbor mouth. That's a distance of nearly 2 miles. A pair of New Yorkers, Elisha and Benjamin Edgerton, favored indoor entertainment. In 1836, despite a critical shortage of women, they paid a Chicago fiddler named Joe Davlin $150 to play a series of winter cotillion parties. Davlin liked Milwaukee so much that he settled there, and Elisha Edgerton pronounced the cotillions a great success. Navigation never resumed before the end of March, and the ice sometimes lasted into early May. By that time, Milwaukeeans must have felt as isolated as astronauts on the International Space Station. They were ready for new faces, new goods, newer news. The first ship of the season brought all that and more. It meant the resumption of life. We have largely conquered the season. Moving from home to car to work or school, we travel from one artificial hothouse to another. But we, too, feel the ancient hunger for real warmth and real light in the depths of winter. Take heart, the days lengthen.
John Gerda is an award-winning historian and author. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life on our website, wisconsinlife.org, and on Facebook. I'm Erica Janik.